Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
It's a privilege to come into the house of God, and to come and worship together. And the message that the Lord has for us today is not my message, but it's His message. And I pray that each one of us may gain a spiritual blessing out of there. Let's just bow our heads for a minute. Loving Father in heaven, Father, it is a privilege to be in your house, to come together as brothers and sisters in unity, in love. We come before you on your holy Sabbath day to seek a spiritual blessing, not only in words, but also that the Holy Spirit may guide us and direct us. And that as we leave this church today, Father, we pray that we may each one take Jesus home with us. For we ask in Christ's name, amen. You know, bridges have always excited me. The first time I remember a bridge, my dad used to take us fishing out on the rivers in the farmlands, and they used to call the hay bridge. And it was nothing but a bunch of planks going over a little creek. But bridges always lead somewhere, don't they? They're going to get us from point A to point B. As a small child, you know, I can remember we used to make the make-believe bridges. And they may be over some type of a body of water. And sometimes we'd start walking across those homemade bridges and they would collapse. And we'd end up down in the water. But there are many famous bridges throughout the world, you know. And a few years ago, I had the opportunity with my son to go to San Francisco. And I not only had the privilege of seeing, but I told my son, we have to walk on it. We have to actually go out on the San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge, and walk on it. And so we did that. This bridge linked San Francisco with Marin County in absolute splendor. And the bridge is one of the architectural marvels of the 20th century. And for some of us older folks, you can remember that this bridge was constructed during the Great Depression. Its completion was in 1937. And the reason I mention this bridge as an example is because everyone says, well, no, you are not going to be able to build this bridge. It will be impossible to build this bridge. You know, because of foggy weather, 60 miles an hour wind, strong ocean currents. But despite all of these elements, the Golden Gate Bridge was built. You know, there's another bridge that somebody said couldn't be built, and that was the bridge between heaven and earth. And Satan says it can't be done. But Jesus proved him wrong. There's a few facts about this bridge that couldn't be built. Construction began on January the 5th, 1933, and it was completed May 27th, 1937. The chief engineer was Joseph Strauss. The total weight of that bridge was 895,000 tons. And when I was looking up for these pictures of different bridges, I forget how many miles down into the ground they went with some cement foundation, because if San Francisco gets an earthquake, that the bridge wouldn't collapse. The number of supporting cables on that bridge are 2, and they are 36 3/8 inches thick. The total length of wire that was used in those cables, 80,000 miles. And the length is 1.2, and the color everybody knows is international red. And if the United States Navy would have had its way, the bridge would have been black. But the total cost back then was $35 million, and 11 men lost their lives. Quite often, a lot of times in building bridges, even the Mackinac Bridge, there have been men that have lost their lives. Jesus Christ built the bridge from heaven to earth. And he lost his life. A bridge is a passage or a means of overcoming. A Christian bridge builder is someone who strives to develop passages so that the pain, tears, fearness, and failures of this world can be overcome. It is, we read in our scripture reading there from 2 Corinthians 5:14, it's Christ. It's for the love of Christ constrains us or compels us to be bridge builders. We have our chief example of the birth and the life of Jesus Christ. He's the bridge to unite us. But let's look in 2 Corinthians 5:15 through 17. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him that thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what is he? He is a new creature, and the old things have passed away. And he says, behold, I make all things new. So now, we now live for Jesus, and we see things through his perspective. Because of what Christ has done for us, we are new creatures. And when we do that, when Christ is living within us, when we look at other people, for example, when Jesus looked at the woman at the well, did he look at her as a sinful woman? She was a sinful woman, but was he filled with anger? Or when Jesus looked at that woman at the well, did he look at her and with mercy in his eyes, in love for her? And that's the difference, is when Christ is within us and we're looking through his perspective, when we're looking at other people, we see them as they can be. Maybe not as they are, but what they can be. And because of what Christ has done for us, we need to help others to build bridges. Our ministry of building bridges, we, as part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church around the world, Christ says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel message to all the nation, every king or tongue and nation. And some people say, well, you can't. I can't do that. You know, I can't be a spokesman. Did any of you happen to see the Hope Channel last night on Really Living? They had Don Snyder on there. Robert Fautenberg was on there. But there was another couple on there that were just plain folks. And they never thought that they could do anything. And in one of his pleas, in one of his presentations, Eller Falkenberg, he called for somebody to come forward. And he wanted them to preach the gospel message. But the requirements were, is that he didn't want them to know anything. You know, he didn't want intelligent people, real intelligent people. He wanted somebody that knew very little about the Bible. And this man came forward, and he ended up doing missionary work overseas, and he did a few in the United States here. And also his wife, who never speaks to other people, you know, shy and afraid to get up in front of a group and speak. Well, God also used her. And so each one of us, God can use. You may not think you can do something, but God has given every one of us gifts and talents to use for his glory. There's nothing more finer, more beautiful than leading another soul to Christ. You know, that's the wonderful part. To be a bridge builder, we need to show love for one another. It's always easy to say, but sometimes it's hard to do. We have to remember, while we're on this earth here and we're living here, the devil's also going around, right? Causing trouble. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to love some people. You ever have that problem? Sometimes people bug you for whatever reason. And sometimes you may get angry at that person, or they'll get angry at you. But yet, we are to love one another as Christ has loved us. The devil is working in your home, in your school, in your neighborhood, in your personal life with Christ. The devil is working to pull that bridge apart so there's a gap in there and that you can't get across to the other side. In Luke 6, verse 27, it talks about love your enemies. Let's turn to that for a minute. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you." And sometimes that's not always easy to do. But yet, why does Christ want us to do that? There are a number of reasons why, for our own good. When we let somebody else's anger take over our mind, we're letting them take our mind over. And we don't have peace of mind. And the other person may be going on living a life, you know, without any problems at all. But the angrier, the more you think about something, yeah, does that build up and you get angrier and angrier? You know? But to love that person, see that person through the eyes of Christ. I happen to think of remember the prodigal son? And the son says, "Dad, I want my inheritance right now. I'm young. I want to get off the farm, go to town, and have fun." And so the father says, "Well, I really don't want to give it to you, son. I know what's in town there, but if you really insist, I'll give it to you." And so the son got his inheritance. He walked out of the house, went across the bridge, and into town. And you know what happened? He ended up in the pig swine, in the pig pen there, eating their food. And finally, the son came to his senses and said, "Well, my father's slaves, they're eating better than I am. I'm going to go back home. I'll eat that food." And you know, the beautiful part of this is, imagine that this bridge here, and the father could have let that bridge deteriorate, fall apart, or cut the bridge down, or whatever. But the father didn't. The father kept that bridge in good repair, so that when that son came home, he would be able to come across that bridge safely and back home. And that's what Christ does for us. In everything that we do, we need to demonstrate God's love. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us." In Galatians, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. I'll read this. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We need to be genuine, you know. It means then just saying hello. Many times on Sabbath you walk into church and the greeter's there. Well, good morning, happy Sabbath. How you doing? Fine. And if I'm greeting there, I'll say, okay, now tell me, how do you really feel this morning? You know? Because does everybody come into church all in a good mood every week? Is everybody fine? Why do we come here? What is the church considered? Is the church a hospital for sinners? We all come here to be spiritual fed. We all come here to be encouraged by one another. And, when you look at somebody and say, how do you really feel? Tell me the truth. How does that person feel then? Have you shown an interest in that person? That you really do care about them? Because words are easy to speak. Words are very easy to speak. But to really mean it, to be genuine, is different. It means that you really care about one another more than a quick hello. Everyone has concerns. Thank the Midland group for their for the Midland prayer group here and on behalf of the Clarks. Gary had surgery again this week, and they'll be starting home Sunday, I think it will, tomorrow. But your prayer group, it's got many answers. And I'm thankful that you do have a prayer group. We have one in Saginaw, I think most churches do. But that is one of the greatest things that we can do. Everyone can do that. You may not be able to get up in front and speak, or may not do certain things in a church, but everybody can pray, can't they? You know, and that's the wonderful part. And we've seen a lot of answers to prayers. And keep praying. Being genuine also means being honest and humble. Being honest and humble. Don't be something that you aren't. Be yourself. I'm just a little man up here. I don't have a college education, you know. But the Lord gives us the gifts. The Lord calls upon us to do different things. And we're so thankful. I'm thankful that the Lord gives me the words to speak because I couldn't come up with them on my own. But we don't need to try to impress others. We be to be honest, be what we are. And one of the things in a church is it doesn't matter if it's me or whoever. Every one of us is struggling with sin. In Romans 6:23, I think it is, or 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so walk into church and think, well, boy, I don't want to go to that church. There's too many perfect people in there. You know, they're all perfect. I can look at Reed and say, oh, Reed, you're perfect. You know? But just keep that in mind that there is none perfect. No, not one. That we're all striving. And remember also in this is sanctification, which is the work of a lifetime, is that so-and-so may be down here, so-and-so's here, and so-and-so's up there. And that's the joy of it is the sooner that we come to Christ and the more that we get to receive his blessings. But we're all growing. And I can't wait to get to heaven because there's so much more to learn. You know, we come together, Hebrews 10:24, and this was one of our memory texts we tried to learn. Few years ago, Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And so we come together not only to receive from Christ, but to receive from each other, to encourage each other. And then in Paul, he says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, Paul says, to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. We want to build up a brother or a sister or anybody that walks into our church. Instead of looking at his or her faults, you know, we need to look at him like Jesus looks at us. Jesus gave us example in Matthew 9. Let me turn there. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. 9 through 12. Then Jesus passed on from there. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. As he said to him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And so it was, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those that are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We can follow the example of Christ. You know that I was trying to remember this, the Sabbath school class Becky was teaching in the personal ministries time after. Both of them were very excellent. But the one thing I had to get this morning was this little candle that Mary Ann was passing out. And why do you think I want this candle? I don't know how many of you got one, but the song that Jay sang, Jesus is the Lighthouse, and I think it was late 60s, like you said, early 70s, that they came out with that, Jesus is the Lighthouse. And every one of us is a lighthouse. Now this little candle, even though it's small, or we could have, like they have in some churches, great big candles, you know, or we can use a big light like that. But do you know that when you light your candle, that candle is lit and somebody can see that candle? Have you ever been up in an airplane at night and you've looked down and you can see street lights, you know? But this candle, I can take this candle home. I can light this candle. Every time I look at this candle, I got to ask myself, is my candle lit? Am I a light to the world? Is my light reflecting out there? And so I encourage you, those who got a candle this morning, look at that candle and ask yourself if you are a light for Jesus. You know, sometimes bridges fall apart for whatever reason, just like I can tell you that 4¾-mile bridge is falling apart. It's got all potholes in there from the frost coming out of the ground. But sometimes bridges like roads are rebuilt and they use better material, better workmanship. But maybe even my bridge needs rebuilding. Maybe it does. But I have to admit that my bridge is not what it should be. I have to admit Lord, I have sinned and I'm sorry. I need your help to rebuild this bridge. And in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. He's willing to help us to build our bridge. We may have to admit that we're sinner and need forgiveness, but Jesus is standing on the other side of that bridge, inviting us to come over. Yeah, I can remember when I was in the Catholic church growing up as a little boy, an adult, and graduating from Catholic high school. We would go to confession every Saturday afternoon. And, you know, the wonderful part of that is you go in the confession booth and, Father, forgive me for I have blah, blah, blah. Okay, my son, go out and say three Hail Marys and two Our Fathers and your sins are forgiven. And so I would go out and go into the church pew, kneel down and say them. And then I would walk through that back door of that church and go out, and boy, I'm free now. I'm free. My sins have been forgiven, you know. And then the next week, I'm right back again, asking for the sins again. But the thing of it is that there, when you get to know Jesus Christ, there's a big difference in your life. Because you know that those sins have actually been forgiven. And not only just forgiven, my attitude was, well, you know, I'm good for another week. I can go out and do whatever I want to do. And then come back, and then all I have to do is go in the confessional booth and say, Father, you know, whatever. But never in my earlier experience have I ever knew Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And where Christ would say, Gary, I want to do more than just forgive you for your sins. I want to help you to walk the walk and talk the talk. I want to help you in every way that I can do that. You know, the midnight cry is soon going to be heard throughout all the land. Everybody will hear Jesus calling his people home. And it says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those who are alive will remain will be caught up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Some will be lost because they were not willing to follow Jesus. We need to give our heart to the Lord each and every day. God has things on the other side of that bridge that are beyond our imagination. Beyond our imagination. Things we would think would be impossible to have. Selected Messages, one of my favorite authors. And Selected Messages, book one. Soon our eyes would be drawn to the east, for a small black cloud had appeared about half as large as a man's hand, which we all knew was the sign of the Son of Man. We all in solemn silence gazed on the cloud as it drew nearer and nearer and became lighter, glorious, and still more glorious, till it was a great white cloud. The bottom appeared like a fire. A rainbow was over the cloud. Around it were 10,000 times 10,000 angels, singing a most lovely song. And upon it sat the Son of Man. His hair was white and curly, and it laid on his shoulders. And upon his head were many crowns. His feet had the appearance of fire. In his right hand was a sharp sickle. In his left, a silver trumpet. His eyes were like a flame of fire, which searched his children through and through. Then all faces gathered paleness, and those that God had rejected gathered blackness. Then they all cried out, Who will be able to stand? Is my robe spotless? Then the angels ceased to sing, And there was some time of awful silence when Jesus spoke, "Those who have a clean hand and pure hearts shall be able to stand. My grace is sufficient for thee." At this, our faces lighted up, and joy filled every heart. And the angel struck a note higher and higher and sang again, while the cloud drew nearer and nearer to earth. Then Jesus' silver trumpet sounded as he descended on that cloud, wrapped in flames of fire. He gazed upon the graves, the sleeping saints, and then he raised his eyes and his hands to heaven and cried, "Awake, awake, awake ye that sleep in the dust, and arise." Then there was a mighty earthquake. The graves were opened, and the dead came up clothed with immortality. The 144,000 shouted, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." And as they recognized their friends who had been torn from them by death, and at the same moment we were all changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We all entered that cloud together and were 7 days. Do you realize that you are going to be 7 days ascending from earth to heaven? 7 days. You're going to spend your first Sabbath there traveling to heaven. And when Jesus brought us our crowns, and with his own right hand he placed those crowns on our heads, he gave us harps of gold and psalms of victory. And here on the sea of glass, the 144,000 stood in a perfect square. And some of them had very bright crowns, others not so bright. Some crowns appeared heavy with stars, while others had but few. But they were all perfectly satisfied with the crowns that they had. And they were all clothed with a glorious white mantle from their shoulders to their feet. Angels were all about us as we marched over to the sea of glass, to the gate, to the city of the New Jerusalem. Jesus raised his mighty, glorious arm. He laid hold of the pearly gate. He swung it back on its glittering hinges and said to us, "You have washed your robe in the blood. You have stood stiffly for my truth. Enter in." And we all marched in, and we felt we had a perfect right to enter into that city. In conclusion, we have looked at a number of points. The bridge between heaven and earth symbolizes the path of eternal life to those who cross over it. We may have to overcome obstacles in our life, but don't let that hinder us, because Jesus can help us. And Christ's love constrains us or compels us to be sincere and to be humble bridge builders. And by being Christian bridge builders, we will all fulfill the gospel commission of going out into the world. Well, let's just say your own household, your own neighborhood, your own place where you work, in your area. You were talking about witnessing, you know. If you're afraid to witness, don't be afraid. Because anything that you say in the name of Christ, it's His. It's not what we're saying, it's what Christ's saying through us. And Christ will give you the opportunity, and it will come when you least expect it. You may not think, but God can open doors up that seem shut. But yet, if you are willing, He will open those doors. We need to demonstrate our love for one another, encourage and support one another. We need to follow the pattern of the Savior in reaching people wherever they are, just like the tax collectors invite the sinners home to your house. Yes, and when our bridge needs rebuilding from time to time, Christ can help us. Let's resolve to be ready for that midnight cry. Jay Hickman is going to sing this song for us. And I want you to listen to the words of this song. I'm just going to tell you a couple of them here while he comes up. I can hear the sound of a mighty wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet sound as Gabriel blows his horn. At the midnight cry, we're all going home. And when Jesus steps out of those clouds to call his people home, the dead in Christ shall rise. Then those who are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And it's my prayer and desire that every one of us will be going home. Let's stand for the benediction. Father in heaven, Father, we're so thankful for your words this morning. We're so thankful for the music and the words that have been in those songs. It makes us realize that we are living on a sin-cursed world, and that you have gone to prepare a place for us, and that you are going to come back and gather your people. And Father, I pray that each one of us here this morning will truly be among those who will be going home. If we need to change our character or anything in our life, Lord, help us to overcome. Help us to stand strong, to fight the fight of faith, to hold on, because we know, Lord, it's truly our desire. And even those in our own household, our sons and daughters, or brothers or sisters, our family, friends, we know there are many that we are praying for that we'd like to see go home too. And so, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit, in your wisdom and knowledge, can work through us to reach out to others, to show them that there is a place where there is going to be no more sin-cursed world, that there will be peace and happiness. Again, Father, thank you for your words. Bless us as we go to our different homes. May we continue to keep your Sabbath day holy. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.